Hello, fellow artists, and welcome to the Alabaster Theatre Podcast. My name is Bethany. Please make yourself at home and subscribe.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining us for episode 2, which is titled Effectively Engaging an Audience. I am super excited about this episode because I have a special guest. This person pretty much was my very first inspiration to want to creatively communicate anything. And so I thought it would be very fitting to have one of my biggest inspirations appear on the podcast. His name is Peter Blaz, but to me, he's called Dad. So welcome to the podcast, Dad.
Yeah, thank you, Bethany. Nice introduction. It's great to be here.
So obviously, I'm going to give Dad complete boasting rights for the next bit because I don't think I could do him justice because I don't actually always remember everything he's done because he's just been living for so long. can you answer this question? This is our first question. Can you tell us a bit about your history in performance?
Okay, history in performance. Obviously, I've done so many church musicals. When I say so many, that's not that many, actually. but I was always cast as the bad guy. So I remember the most significant one was an old theatre called Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames. And I was the devil. And we did this night after night after night for many weeks. And every night, there I was screaming at people, laughing at people, dragging them into hell. And so
it was an intense production.
It was intense. And even after all the rehearsals and then doing it for a couple of weeks, it did get rather intense. And then, you know, multiple other bad guy ones of, you know, one theatre was I was the bad dude that ran in and had a nightmare and was repenting on the stage, and I had painted on tats and my greasy hair and everything. So, probably after that was I did a thing with a TV show, 10 episodes called Contagious, where we did back in the day. This is like the mid 90s, no such thing as YouTube and all that kind of thing, but we did this kids show / youth.
It was back in the day of a video.
Yeah.
Videotape,
that's the one. And we just did like the funniest things together. It was three of us mostly, and we just had the greatest chemistry. And we would do, think of an Old Testament character, and then we would interview them and we'd take turns at who was the Old Testament character. But we only had the smallest like script. We just say, look, I'm going to say this, and then we just make it up as we went.
So it's like the ultimate game of improvisation, but just caught on camera pretty much.
Pretty well. So that was a lot of fun, that.
And that 10-part series of videos actually won an award.
It did. We produced it in Australia, but it actually was taken by the Australian Christian Television Network at the time to America, and they put it into the Religious Broadcasting Awards in America. And yeah, it won not the most prestigious award, but the second award, which was the People's Choice Award.
Which is perfect because we're talking about effectively engaging an audience.
Exactly. And so
the people were engaged.
Yeah, the people were engaged. And so on the floor, the people at the conference, they got to choose what they thought was the best. And so Contagious won that award. So that was a really nice pat on the back. There was, you know, no big checks or notoriety or fame. It was just well done. So
yeah.
And then I got to say, working with Alabaster Theatre, that's probably been the most enjoyable, because it's really a whole lot of passionate people who want to be good at what they do. And so once again, my first role was the bad guy. I played Diabolus.
Which we're going to play you a quick clip of that right now.
We stand on the edge of a new door.
Yes, that is brilliant. Would you like me to write it down?
No, if you keep interrupting me, I will send you straight to hell. Well, you won't know the full meaning of being fired from my services. But what's more, If you continue to insinuate that I should tolerate such bombastic facilities from such an insignificant microscopic organism as you, you are mistaken, for I will personally horizontalize your perpendicularity. But that will have to wait.
And so that was a lot of fun because you could, you know, it wasn't so heavily bolted down in a biblical doctrinal viewpoint, so I could make the character, and I kind of like based him a little bit off of Robin Hood series, that British series.
BBC.
Yeah.
The Sheriff,
yeah. So I had a lot of fun with that.
Which, if you don't know what my dad looks like, he looks a little bit like the Sheriff when he shaves his head. So
So I could be like the kind of like the very satire, sarcastic, evil dude, unpredictable. And probably the one that I've really enjoyed, I got a turn of being a good guy there for a little while with Mosaic being one of the wise men and making people laugh about good things and funny things. That was
wonderful. We also have just a really quick snippet of. He played the head wise man who was called Jasper. And so we'll quickly show you that.
I'm going to pack my essentials, starting with my favorite date. Would you like one?
I would like a date.
No.
Oh, Jasper, that's so good. I need a date, please.
Okay. There is one in here that you can have. Here it is. This one here is for you. It's got legs on it.
Oh, that has legs because it's a cockroach.
We've loved having you part of the performances, and you actually bring a really amazing anointing to the team. Every time Alabaster Theatre does a show, everybody ends up laughing and crying at whichever role that you're playing. So it's something you're really good at, is engaging an audience. So, but it's not all you've done. In fact, your performance CV would probably be smaller than your communicating CV. So can you tell us like a few, you know, a bit of your history of being a communicator?
Yeah, look, it started like even at 15, you know, I was a musician and I wrote lots of songs and, you know, I put a band together, and that was really what that was my first, you know, communication. And I wanted, and we went into schools and we did concerts. And so like, I really wanted to communicate what, you know, what God had done in my life to young people, which then that turned into more, doing RE. I had these opportunities to do RE, and I just loved talking to high school kids and primary school kids as well. And so I really learned to communicate in those places.
In those really tough environments.
That's right, because you would go and the last thing they wanted to hear was some dude talk about the Bible. Mm. And so I loved going into a class where people had low expectations of what it was going to be like, and then just making the Bible come to life. Saying it and telling it in a way that would like draw kids into the narrative of the Bible. Yeah. So when you finish, they wanted to actually pick up where you left off and check it out for themselves. And that was always where I thought, that's a win. That's the winner.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool.
And, you know, that progressed into an invite to be a youth pastor. So then that was really the beginning of like what we would know as preaching. And so I loved preaching, but it was still always from a communication level, and my passion not to make the Bible boring made me really think about what I was saying and how I would say it to kids. And that's why it became kind of funny, not like a stand-up comedian, but I would just think about the story from every angle, and I would think what each character might be feeling, and then I add a little bit of cultural, you know, like what it is today to the story, and it just naturally became engaging and a little bit funny.
Well, I mean, not just in speech, but like you would do character voices, and then sometimes people would be wearing like costumes or masks, and then there would be smoke, which like back in, you know, the 90s was pretty revolutionary.
Well, yeah, and look, you know, and even once we did
having people wear demon masks in church was like
yeah we certainly mixed it up. But look, I remember once we hired a truck and we did this thing in all the primary schools all the way through the east coast of Australia, And what it was this massive big time machine. And I actually took two of my boys and another friend, and we were going to a school, and we would get kids to put something into the time machine, but which we would, like, say, we've got a pencil, and we had this massive big pencil would come out, like it would grow the pencil. And so we'd do all these things, and finally we get some kid with a chicken sandwich and put that in. And my smallest son, he would come out in this full chicken costume, start running around the school.
And psycho then, chicken.
Psycho chicken. And then another chicken would come out, which was my next son. And then the fully grown, my mate, would come out in a full... So there was three chickens running around the school.
Yes. And fun fact is that Psycho Chicken also appears in the 10-part series.
Yes.
Or in future films that you made. So Psycho Chicken was, you know, there was Father, Son, Holy Spirit and Psycho Chicken.
Yeah. Yeah. So whatever way we could communicate a message, and then, you know, we would say, well, there's only one thing that's between you can't
choose. We just have to cram Psycho Chicken in.
So engaging an audience through... you know, through communicating something that was meaningful or that was funny or that was, meaningful to those people, or just purely just in a creative way like that Psycho Chicken type thing.
Yeah, cool. And then, I mean, you pretty much have been a communicator from then all the way till now, from pastoring a church and speaking in schools, and even, you know, not just speaking in churches like as an itinerant minister, but like all different kinds of churches too, from very conservative to very I don't know, evangelical.
Yeah.
If that's the word.
Yeah, yeah. And look, and preaching in a church is completely different to like a lot of the years that I've spent. Even with the Bible Society, and we work with them, my job full-time was to go into schools every day and engage kids in a way that then they would take the free gospels that we had on hand. And so, you know, that's completely different to having an audience that has come to sit to listen to you.
Yeah.
In fact, it's so easy to preach.
Yeah.
But to engage people who aren't really sure about whether they want to listen to you or not, that's another whole level.
Yeah.
Makes you work and sweat.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in the context of theatre, because a lot of people listening would be interested in theatre, I mean, that's an audience where people have paid to be entertained. And so it's really important to, you know, one really great conversation we can have now is you've been in environments where people don't even care what you say, like haven't even paid any money to talk. To see you, yet here you are standing there explaining God. So, like, you've been in the very best and the very worst, which I'll ask you about in a moment. But obviously, like, having a history in both performance and then as a preacher or a communicator, like, what do both of those elements have in common? And then, how do they also differ?
What they have in common. Is that you're trying to communicate something to people. You're trying to impart something to them, make them aware of something, bring them to a point of understanding or joy or whatever. But with theatre, you're taking on a persona that might not necessarily be yours. Mm. And so you're kind of like hiding behind something. You're part of a story. But when you're communicating, like preaching or just engaging people vocally, it's coming from you. There's no mask, there's no costume, there's no lights. It really is you that they're deciding whether they're going to listen to or not.
Yeah.
And so it becomes way more personal and way more engaging from your perspective, you know.
It's a good point. And obviously being in all of these different environments, you would have some pretty, pretty nasty, pretty awesome stories. So can you tell us, what is the very worst crowd that you've had to engage?
The worst crowd was quite some years ago, and I was in Mackay, and we'd been going through all the schools inviting all these kids to come to this Youth Alive rally. And so when we got there, they had the band, and the band wasn't a typical Youth Alive Rally band. It was just these guys were playing this really heavy music. And I don't know if it was like had Christian words to it or not. I had really no idea. I was out the backstage, and they went on and on and on and on. And the kids were so hyped up, like they were hyped. And the room was full of not Christian kids, because like there wouldn't be that many. The room had 700 kids in it. Okay, and I don't know if there was that many Christian kids in Mackay. And so when I came out, they just pushed me out to preach. Like, they had the band stopped and out I come. And these kids start telling me to F and get off the stage and bring the band back on. And who's this loser? And we don't want to listen to you. And literally the whole front row turned their backs to me.
Wow.
And things started to get tossed around. And I had this really funny story to start with to engage them. And it was just like dribble coming out of my mouth. And I was just like, and my brain's going, what do I do? What do I do? And then I just went, right, I'm only going to be here for 10 minutes. I want you to sit down. I want you to shut up. And I'm going to tell you something that for some of you, this is going to change your entire life. Now be quiet, you. Sit down. Something came over me. I took charge of the room. And they did. And they saw the angry man and they sat down. And I literally preached probably no more than 7 minutes or so. And then I said, if you're serious about what I just said and you want to give your life to this Jesus that I'm talking about, get out the front now. And 100 kids came out.
Wow.
And I said, you guys are muck and mirror. Get back to your seats. I'm saying, if you're serious. And I was so full on. Like, I met – and at the time, I was really meeting them where they were. Like, they were trying to – hassle me. So I hassled them. I sent them back to their seats. I said, "Now, if you're serious, get out here."
Yeah.
And even after that, I went outside and tried to meet some of them who I saw put their hands up and come out the front and said, did you really do that tonight? Could you believe? And he goes, yes, that made a big difference in my life. So
wow.
That was the worst. I did have another one that was really bad, but it kind of like turned out okay. That was like I had a room full of like 300 grade nines. And it was a public school in Ipswich.
Year nines.
And they introduced me. This is when I was with the Bible Society. They introduced me as Peter Bra. Not a good thing to say to all these grade nines. And he's from the Society of Bible Readers. And so I just knew that.
Bras and Bibles.
It's like, man, you have just sunk me with that introduction.
I mean, look. They would have been engaged, just not in what you were saying.
They weren't thinking about the Bible. But when the rule is you've probably got 3 minutes to make good to give them a reason to listen to. And we kind of like won them over and it ended up being not too bad.
Yeah, right. And, I mean, lesson of the day, don't hire a heavy metal band to and then go straight into the preaching.
Exactly. Those kids were not there to hear me.
I mean, I'm assuming that, you know, our listeners don't like heavy metal, but if you do, God still loves you. There's still a place in heaven for you and we will accept you still. Yeah. So obviously that's a pretty tough crowd. What's the best crowd?
Oh, look, that's a really difficult question because there's been so many times that I have had so much fun with a group of young people or even children. But I will tell you this one story because someone threw the gauntlet down for me. They didn't realise they'd done this, but I was in a month's time going to speak at this primary school, grade 5, 6s and 7s. The chaplain was just checking what I was going to say, and out of a joke, I said, I think I might talk about the devil. Now, this is not that long ago, and so that's kind of like, you know, schools are really careful what you can and can't say these days.
Mm.
And she goes, oh, no, don't do that. You don't. And she was so, like, it pushed me over the edge. I thought, I'm actually going to do this, and I'm going to show you that it's going to be okay. And so I went away, and I watched all the movies that kids were watching and I did all the baddies voices from Gollum to Star Wars. So you did a little
impersonations.
Yeah, and so for 25 minutes, I talked about bad guys.
Nice.
And And I had the teachers in stitches. I had the kids in stitches. I just did all these voices. I'd practice how to do all the voices.
Yeah, that's cool.
And then at the end of it, I pulled out a Bible and said, you know what, but all these are like preschool children, all these baddies, compared to the original baddie. And he's in this book here. And he loses big time. He gets totally annihilated by this other guy who comes on the scene. And if you want to know how he – it's so embarrassing for this bad guy. But if you want to know – read this book here and it'll tell you. It was just a gospel. But, and I didn't have a single Bible left in my box.
Yeah. I mean, that's so cool because you don't, so many people would approach the Bible or explaining God or the devil by like coming at it from a theological point of view or how can I unpack or teach the Bible. So often we try to teach, like especially kids, but just we try to teach these very big kingdom principles to an audience that, you know, doesn't really care, to be honest. When we, like, it's such a creative idea. I'm going to spend 25 minutes talking in all these crazy voices. I'm just going to entertain them and then I'm going to smack them with the truth. And I love that kind of outside the box thinking. And it's just a cool, it's a tool that God gives us as performers, as communicators, and like that we don't have to like, pretty much our message is as boring as we are. Ouch.
Yeah, well, it's kind of true. If you're not having a good time, they never will. And that's been sometimes how I think, am I enjoying saying this?
Yeah.
You know, and that's a good parameter. If I'm bored with what I'm saying, gosh, the people who are listening, I feel sorry for them.
Yeah. So, like, obviously standing up and talking in, like, all these villainous voices and even talking to all these different crowds, I find it so bizarre. Like, and I find it bizarre because I've met a lot of different actors with the same personality, but would you describe yourself as an introvert? I know there's so many different personalities, but like generally.
Well, I think I'm a balanced introvert. Like the older you get, the more you become balanced. And, you know, I definitely love being with people.
Yeah.
But, you know, I also definitely enjoy, you know, I could spend 3 days by myself and feel energized by that.
Yeah. Okay. Even though your personality is, and you probably wouldn't gauge this from the podcast or these stories, but at a party, you're not like the life of the party. You're like pretty quiet. You're a good listener. You just chill. But yet you can get up and you're funny and entertaining and engaging. Like what is something, I guess, a message that you could give to introverts, you know, because how many people do we see come into Alabaster Theatre who are really quiet personalities and then they step on the stage and it's like, whoa, what was that?
Yeah.
Like, isn't the stage, it's like this weird thing where people come out. But what would you give, what advice would you give to introverted actors or performers to...
Yeah, look, I think one... With an introvert, because they think a lot, you know, it's easy for them to work a character out. Like, you know, like I'll think about a message or how to say something.
Mm.
You know, I could spend a whole day just trying to think about how to say something.
Yeah, right.
And so out of that, you actually develop it where an extrovert will just be out there saying something to people. He's not thinking about what he's saying. He's just, you know, he's just saying it because they love that interaction. Now, I would be honest, I love that interaction. I don't just think about things without having a goal of who I want to say that to.
Yeah.
And so I think if you love your audience, I don't mean love them because they gave you a big round of applause, but if you love them, like when I walk into a room full of kids, I feel compassion for them.
Mm.
And so that pulls me out of my introversion and no, look, this is not about me.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing is if you find something that you're passionate about, like it's something that's important, something that's bigger than you, and you're like, my message about who Jesus is way bigger than me. And so in a room full of people at a party, I like parties, but I don't like parties, you know what I mean?
I don't like parties.
but I love to talk to someone and find out about those people. So it's not a matter of introversion, it's all about me, but it's introversion, you know, I've got room to and space to think.
Yeah. Do you know, I think introverts as well, I think that they really, and sorry if I sound like I'm talking about like a species. I have like introverted parts. I do have introverted behavior in parts of my life too. So I don't think they're too clean cuts, but I do find that a lot of my friends who are introverted are way more thoughtful in their character, in all the dimensions of creating their character. Yeah. Like they're always very observant people, and actors who observe usually get it right so good because they're watching people, they're watching the world, and then they retell it and people go, oh my goodness, that's a thing.
Yeah.
So I think that's what makes, you know, I think extroverted people make great performers because they're confident. They just like ooze confidence and energy and they're powerful in that way. So I love the fact that the stage kind of has a place for everybody. It doesn't matter what personality you are, you can give it a go.
Definitely.
And you can be engaging. Yeah. Have you ever had to bounce off someone who is totally not engaging or who was not zero chemistry? We're talking theatre now.
Yes, but not that often because, like, I'm not the person that's always put the right people, you know, in the right places. So mostly it's been good, but I have had one person that, yeah, there was no energy in what they were saying. And in fact, they kept changing what they were saying. Their lines changed every night. So I'd be like ready for my line and I'm thinking, how do I say this next line? Because it doesn't even match what they just said.
That is so hard.
And so that was actually pretty frustrating.
Yeah. And so, like, how did you play out that scene then?
I think
you're actually really great at improvisation, so I'd imagine that's how you saved it.
Exactly. Yeah, you just have to improvise. In fact, sometimes I said his line and then answered it myself.
Just got to get past this next part. Yeah. I mean, that's why we do improvisation games. Mm. And so how important as a performer, I'm going to say as a performer because I'd say that there probably are far more performers listening to this.
Mm.
How important as a performer is it to engage your audience?
Oh, I think it's vital because that's what you're doing. You're telling a story, and stories are the things that engage people.
Mm.
And so I don't think you can engage everybody all the time either. You know, that's what we have pop culture, you know, where we're trying to just find what most people will like to hear. And so we have, that's what, why we have certain genres of music and so forth, because that's going to entertain the majorities. And I don't know that that's the funnest place to live. Mm. And so to think that you can connect with every single person, that's a pipe dream as well. Mm. But I do think that, though, that the great thing about theatre, you've got so many people and there's so many stories that, you know, that certain stories will connect with certain people. Mm. And so, you know, I think that you should be specific about what you're saying, specific about the story, the outcome of that story, what you want people to walk away with. And I think and then just let the chips fall where they fall.
Mm. I mean, it might sound like a duh kind of question, like how important is it? But the truth is put, as a director, seeing people, different people use the stage and how people, it actually, I feel like it is a message that performers do need to be reminded that engaging your audience, that's the whole reason you're up there.
Yeah.
Often we get caught up in the script and ourselves and, oh, my makeup, my costume, my lines, my this, my that. But at the end of the day, the whole reason that you've got the stage is because of the audience, and we're honoured that they're giving us their time, and that they have, you know, even paid money to say, what do you want to, you know, show me? And so might seem like a duh kind of question, but I do think it's important to remember.
Yeah, I don't think it's a duh because I think that every performance that you do, you need to think of it as the first time you've done it. Even if, like, you, it's the, you know, it's the 100th time that you've stepped on stage to play that role, you know, you should think this is a whole new audience, this is a whole new, you know, because that's a big mistake that I've, you know, made sometimes in, and not so much even theatre, but, like, just going to the next school to say the same words to a different group of kids, but thinking you'll do it the same way.
Yeah.
Because you haven't thought about the kids. All you're doing is rattling off what you know you've got to say.
Yeah.
And you've not walked into the room and become present.
Yeah.
And looked at them and, you know, thought, what do these kids need today? Well, how can I make this come to life for them? And so you might use the same words or the same actions and everything, but you kind of like presenced yourself. And I think that's really super important. And people feel you in the room. Like, I think there's a power that, like, if you want to engage with someone, if you think something and then you believe something and then you say something and it's actually something you do, that people feel the energy of that behind you. You know what I mean? And so as opposed to just saying something that you don't really believe it at all, you know, that has no power to create an atmosphere in a room.
I finished just with this story. When we did Mosaic, which was a Christmas musical, it was actually the traditional story of Christmas with Jesus, Jesus's birth, and it's just a powerful show. And I remember just having this experience with the audience when the show finished. I actually have this recorded on my phone because I just got super emotional listening to it. Every time the applause of the audience happens, I always kind of say a quick prayer and I just say, God, that's for you. And I remember listening to the audience and they cheered for over 1 minute. Now, that was a huge deal for me because that's probably the longest. People like cheered and cheered and cheered, and a lot of the cast got super emotional as we kind of just stood there and people just kept cheering and cheering and cheering. And I think I just on a whole new level appreciated what we call an audience, because these people had just gone on a journey with us, and at the end of it they just gave us a very generous thank you.
I remember that. That was very, very wonderful.
And so there's nothing quite like that feeling after you've given everything you've got in engaging these people who've given their time that we call an audience. There's nothing like that. And that feeling of at the end when the round of applause happens. And so I would just, you know, I just want to finish with saying, like, give a performance that gets a huge round of applause at the end. Well, thanks so much, Dad, for joining me on this podcast, and be cool to get you back in the future. And got any last words you want to say?
My last words would be it's not in the script.